Chapter 16. When did you first begin this mad career? Asked Quilp, his taunting inclination subdued, for a moment, by the old man's grief and wildness. When did I first begin? He rejoined, passing his hand across his brow. When was it that I first began? When should it be, but when I began to think how little I had saved, how long a time it took to save it all, how short a time I might have at my age to live, and how she would be left to the rough mercies of the world, with barely enough to keep her from the sorrows that wait on poverty. Then it was that I began to think about it. After you first came to me to get your precious grandson packed off to sea? Said Quilp. Shortly after that, replied the old man. I thought of it a long time, and had it in my sleep for months. Then I began. I found no pleasure in it, I expected none. What has it ever brought me, but anxious days and sleepless nights, but loss of health and peace of mind, and gain of feebleness and sorrow? You lost what money you had laid by, first, and then came to me. While I thought you were making your fortune as you said you were making yourself a beggar, eh? Dear me. And so it comes to pass that I hold every security you could scrape together, and a bill of sale upon the stock and property, said Quilp, standing up and looking about him, as if to assure himself that none of it had been taken away. But did you never win? Never. Groaned the old man. Never won back my loss. I thought, sneered the dwarf, that if a man played long enough he was sure to win at last, or, at the worst, not to come off a loser. And so he is, cried the old man, suddenly rousing himself from his state of despondency, and lashed into the most violent excitement, so he is. I have felt that from the first, I have always known it, I've seen it, I never felt it half so strongly as I feel it now. Quilp, I have dreamed, three nights, of winning the same large sum, I never could dream that dream before, though I have often tried. Do not desert me, now I have this chance. I have no resource but you, give me some help, let me try this one last hope. The dwarf shrugged his shoulders, and shook his head. See, Quilp, good tender-hearted Quilp, said the old man, drawing some scraps of paper from his pocket with a trembling hand, and clasping the dwarf's arm, only see here. Look at these figures, the result of long calculation, and painful and hard experience. I must win. I only want a little help once more, a few pounds, but 20 pounds, dear Quilp. The last advance was 70, said the dwarf, and it went in one night. I know it did, answered the old man, but that was the very worst fortune of all, and the time had not come then. Quilp, consider, the old man cried, trembling so much the while, that the papers in his hand fluttered, as if they were shaken by the wind, that orphan child. If I were alone, I could die with gladness, perhaps even anticipate that doom which is dealt out so unequally. Coming, as it does, on the proud and happy in their strength, and shunning the needy and afflicted, and all who courted in their despair, but what I have done, has been for her. Help me for her sake, I implore you, not for mine, for hers. I'm sorry I've got an appointment in the city, said Quilp, looking at his watch with perfect self-possession, or I should have been very glad to have spent half an hour with you, while you composed yourself, very glad. Nay, Quilp, good Quilp, gasped the old man, catching at his skirts, you and I have talked together, more than once, of her poor mother's story. The fear of her coming to poverty has perhaps been bred in me by that. Do not be hard upon me, but take that into account. You are a great gainer by me. Oh, spare me the money for this one last hope. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I couldn't do it really, apostrophe said Quilp with unusual politeness, though I tell you what, and this is a circumstance worth bearing in mind as showing how the sharpest among us may be taken in. Sometimes I was so deceived by the penurious way in which you lived, alone with Nelly, apostrophe, all done to save money for tempting fortune, and to make her triumph greater, apostrophe cried the old man. Yes, yes, I understand that now, apostrophe said Quilp. But I was going to say, I was so deceived by that, your miserly way, the reputation you had among those who knew you of being rich, and your repeated assurances that you would make of my advances treble and quadruple the interest you paid me, that I'd have advanced you, even now, what you want, on your simple note of hand, if I hadn't unexpectedly become acquainted with your secret way of life. Apostrophe, who is it? Apostrophe retorted the old man desperately, that, notwithstanding all my caution, told you? Come, let me know the name of the person. Apostrophe, the crafty dwarf, bethinking himself that his giving up the child would lead to the disclosure of the artifice he had employed, which, as nothing was to be gained by it, it was well to conceal, stopped short in his answer and said, now, who do you think? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it was Kit, it must have been the boy, he played the spy, and you tampered with him? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the old man. How came you to think of him? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the dwarf in a tone of great commiseration. Yes, it was Kit. Poor Kit. Apostrophe, so saying, he nodded in a friendly manner, and took his leave. Stopping when he had passed the outer door a little distance, and grinning with extraordinary delight. Poor Kit. Apostrophe, apostrophe muttered Quilp. I think it was Kit who said I was an uglier dwarf than could be seen anywhere for a penny, wasn't it? Ha ha ha. Poor Kit. Apostrophe, and with that he went his way, still chuckling as he went. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.